Think the U.S. Southwest, and most likely you'll envision hot, dry, dusty landscapes and terracotta-colored desert towns. But it does rain there, sometimes torrentially. And when that happens, streets flood and ponds suddenly appear, making prime breeding habitat for mosquitoes. In the cities, local officials try to get rid of the standing water. But for some desert animals, those brief pools can mean the difference between life and death. From Tucson, Sarah Bromer has the story.
I was out taking a walk one night after a summer storm in downtown Tucson when I heard a sound I'd never heard before. It kind of sounded like a flock of sheep. But that seemed unlikely given that I live only a few blocks from the center of downtown. So I followed the sound to the edge of my neighborhood, where I found people gathered with flashlights.
Oh, oh.
There, in a temporary drainage pond next to a shipping warehouse, were dozens of toads. Now, amphibians are pretty much the last animals you expect to find in a dry, dusty desert town like Tucson. And nobody seemed to know much about them. So I called an expert.
So I'm Phil Rosen, and I'm a research scientist in natural resources and the environment at University of Arizona.
I took Phil to the pond the next night, and we listened. But all we heard was silence. The pond looked a lot smaller. We found tadpoles in the water, but no toads. So I tried to explain the sound to him.
Yeah, it sounded like wah.
Wah.
Yeah, like that.
Phil was pretty sure that I'd heard couches, spadefoot toads.
I fully expected it to be nothing but couches, spadefoot, because of their ability to use such short-lived water. They're uniquely explosive breeders with very short tadpole stages.
He told me the toads spend most of their lives underground, emerging each summer for maybe only a few nights of frantic feeding and breeding. Their eggs hatch within hours, and only 7 or 8 days later, the tadpoles become toads.
It's the fastest metamorphosing species here, probably one of the fastest in the world.
I thought Phil would be really excited to find prime toad breeding habitat in the middle of the city, but he wasn't very excited at all. He told me that the water in the pond probably wouldn't last long enough for the tadpoles to turn into toads.
This basin that we're standing next to is designed to dry itself within 3 days.
Too bad, because it is like an ecological trap, because it just seems really good for them, but it's an attractive nuisance for them, basically. It brings them in to breed in a place they can't survive.
Tucson's building codes require all businesses to capture their runoff, so it won't contribute to flooding, and then sink the water into the ground quickly so it won't breed mosquitoes. Here's Phil Rosen again.
You know, this sort of thing worries me because it exemplifies the ability and the tendency of people to just keep modifying the environment and making it more and more perfect for people. Unfortunately, there's less tendency for there to be little corners where water lasts for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So I suspect that there's an ongoing, very steady decline of these species throughout most of the city.
Now, you wouldn't think mosquitoes would be a big problem in the Southwest. Tucson gets less than 12 inches of rain a year, but over half of it falls during what people around here call the monsoon season, in July, August, and September. It floods the streets and forms temporary pools all over the city. And when the water comes, so do the mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes really just need water and a warm blood source in order to thrive. And so we do have that in Tucson, especially during the times of our monsoon where we have a lot of rain.
That's Dr. Michael Akoba. He's the head of epidemiology at the County Health Department.
Majority of the time, the mosquitoes we have, they're just a nuisance. But since 2004, we had our first case of West Nile virus here. The number of cases spiked 1 year to about 40 cases, but usually we will see about 10 to 20 cases a year.
So what if we want toads in our neighborhood, but not mosquitoes? According to Phil Rosen, it's possible to have one without the other.
If a pond, let's say like this one, lasted on average for 2 to 3 months, it would be so full of predatory crustaceans as well as insects that it wouldn't really produce any mosquitoes.
To prove his point, he took me to a nearby drainage basin in a neighborhood squeezed between the freeway and the dry Santa Cruz riverbed. The basin was dammed up at one end with sediment and old tires, and its concrete sides were covered with graffiti. It was not a pretty sight, but it was full of toads.
So this is a highly engineered concrete drainage outlet, and the mouth of it is blocked by flood debris, and so it's formed a pretty deep pool. And right now there are two species of true toads breeding in it. Those loud ones are Great Plains toads, and the more musical trill are red-spotted toads.
We climbed down to the water, and Phil pointed out all the tiny animals that eat mosquito larvae.
I'm interested in the invertebrates here. There's all kinds of little beetles swimming around here whose larvae will eat mosquitoes. There's a tadpole shrimp here. There's quite a few of them. I'm trying to see if there's any mosquito larvae. Because everyone would sort of expect there to be tons of mosquito larvae in a place like this, making it a public health nuisance. But with this number of aquatic invertebrates, mosquitoes might have a very hard time surviving in here, and I'm not seeing any.
The county health department here deals with mosquitoes by either eliminating standing water or treating it with a larvicide. Jeff Terrell manages the vector control program for the department.
Well, larvicide we use, it's usually like a BTI, what they call a BTI, which is a bacteria. We do use a larvicide oil, which is more of a mineral oil with a surfactant that spreads over the water and keeps it, you know, keeps the larvae from breaking the water surface and breathing so they drown.
Both BTI and mineral oil, if used correctly, are generally considered safe for toads and other vertebrates. But at least one study showed that BTI might sometimes target insects it's not supposed to. And the oil kills several of the aquatic invertebrates that serve as natural pest control. Phil Rosen suspects that the oil isn't good for tadpoles either. He's been researching alternative solutions, and local officials have been open to his ideas. He's been working with them to design experimental pools of longer-standing water that use invertebrate biodiversity to control mosquitoes.
So I've been working to develop that into a kind of an art form, because I completely sympathize with people not wanting to live around lots of mosquitoes.
He believes that in the long run, his solution, though more complicated, will be the best one.
You know, if we simplify our environment, we're going to end up with just the things that we can't deal with, diseases and vectors and things like that. And we'll either have to re-engineer everything so there's zero standing water, or we'll have to try and live with the biodiversity and turn it to our ends and let the kids growing up have something interesting to grow up with.
I went back to the pond in my neighborhood a few days later, and as Phil had predicted, all of the water was gone. Birds were pecking at the muck. I guess it wasn't a good year for the couches spadefoots of downtown Tucson. But maybe someday this pond will be re-engineered and stocked with the right kinds of invertebrates, which will allow us to have the best of both worlds. A neighborhood that's rich with biodiversity and singing toads, and not too many mosquitoes. For Living on Earth, I'm Sarah Bromer in Tucson.